now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to confront some of the great fears about radicalism in the Obama administration. A lot of attention paid to radical intentions regarding the economy and a so-called socialist agenda. Lots of attention paid to disarmament imperatives and to a radical agenda on foreign policy. But what about a radical agenda on animal rights? Haven't heard much about that, but there are people close to the President of the United States, and in fact an increasingly strong movement in the United States, that Wesley Smith says is a danger to our core American values. And that's identified with the animal rights movement. Is the animal rights movement a credit to this country, something that is helping to enhance our humanity, or is it a danger to America? That's the subject of a debate that is occasioned by Wesley Smith's new book. It is called A Rat is a Pig, is a Dog, is a Boy, The Human Cost of the Animal Rights Movement. And I'm very glad that Wesley is going to be debating Gary Francione. He is a professor of law at Rutgers University, one of the universities at which my late mother, pursued her education. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks a lot. Okay, Wesley, you first, because you're the author of this very provocative new book. It is posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com. The obvious question that everyone wants to ask is, Wesley, most people understand that it's a good thing not to be cruel to animals. There is a very strong element in Judeo-Christian tradition that compels respects to all living things. So what's wrong with moving forward in society to deal with some of the genuine, undoubted horrors that are involved in some of our treatment of animals in places like factory farms and slaughterhouses and things like that? Isn't that a good thing for us to move in that direction?
Yes, of course. We should move increasingly to improve our humane care of animals and improve our methods of animal husbandry. But animal rights is not about that. And I think this is something that Gary and I will agree on. Animal rights and animal welfare are two different things. Animal welfare believes in human exceptionalism. That is the idea that there is a hierarchy of moral worth with humans at the pinnacle. That gives us unique rights as human beings, but it also gives us very important and important duties. In fact, we're the only species in the history of the known universe that can be said to actually have enforceable duties that can be imposed upon us. Animal rights says no. To believe that human beings have greater moral worth than animals is something called speciesism. That is the equivalent of racism. It's discrimination against animals. Animal welfare says that, as we mentioned before, that it is important for us to, as we use animals, which acknowledges our right to use animals, that we do so humanely. Animal rights says no, we should not use animals at all. We should not eat meat. We should not wear wool clothing. We should not use animals in medical research. I think that is a crucial distinction, and in fact, it's one that Gary has made quite clearly. Gary opposes animal welfare actions and supports animal rights actions.
Gary, is that accurate? You are.
He said a lot of things, Michael, just now. I would say this. I do oppose animal welfare for moral reasons, but I also oppose animal welfare for practical economic reasons. Because animals are chattel property, animal welfare standards will always be and have historically been very, very low. The only time we will protect animal interests is when we derive an economic benefit from doing so. And much of my scholarship over the past 25 years has been to document the history of animal welfare and to prove the point that animal welfare standards have historically been low and historically will be low. And in the future will be low because of the chattel property of status of animals.
Okay, so you began by saying you oppose animal welfare.
Yes.
And a lot of people are listening to that on the radio and saying, what? He opposes animal welfare? How can anyone be opposed to the welfare of animals? What you're saying is that you believe we need a higher standard and we need to talk about the rights of animals, not just their well-being.
Well, I talk about the right not to be property, and I don't want to be equated with PETA or a lot of these other organizations whose positions I reject. I mean, I have nothing to do with PETA, and as Wesley well knows, I have a very strong position on any sort of violence in the animal rights movement. I'm violently opposed to violence, but no, my position, Michael, is simply this. And I'd like to use an example that I think will get us into the discussion in a way that I hope will engage the listeners on a deeper level. Wesley, in his book, talks about Michael Vick, and he talks about how horrible it was that Michael Vick was involved in fighting dogs, and you know all of this cruelty that was involved. And Wesley agrees that what Michael Vick did was wrong, and he says that in two places in the book he criticizes Michael Vick. Now, my question is this. Why is it we were all upset with Michael Vick? We were upset with Michael Vick because he was deriving pleasure from actions that involved the suffering and death of animals. He was getting pleasure, amusement, or convenience, or you know, he was enjoying the activity of dogfighting. And my position is very simply this. What is the difference between Michael Vick, who likes sitting around a pit watching dogs fight, and the rest of us who like to sit around roasting their corpses around the summer barbecue? The bottom line is we all agree with the notion that it's wrong to inflict unnecessary suffering and death on animals. Now, we can have an interesting philosophical discussion about what necessity means, but if it means anything, if that moral rule means anything, that it's wrong to inflict suffering and death on animals, unnecessary suffering and death on animals, it means we can't justify suffering and death for reasons of pleasure, amusement, or convenience. But we kill 56 billion animals a year for food, not including fish and other aquatic animals. We kill 56 billion animals a year for food. Nobody maintains that we need to eat those animals for optimal health. Indeed, an increasing number of mainstream healthcare
people. Wesley Smith, is he right? Is the average American carnivore out there a worse actor in terms of animal cruelty than Michael Vick?
I didn't say worse. I said we're the same.
Okay, wait. Give Wesley a chance now.
Well, I think Gary's answer shows that animal rights is not about animal welfare. It's an ideology. In fact, it's a dogma. Gary believes that what gives value is sentience. And if an individual has sentience, that means it has rights not to be property. In fact, he has stated that having sentience is what should confer personhood status on that individual. And so we see that there is a tremendous moral equivalence created here between animals and human beings.
Okay, that's what your book is about. I want to go back and focus, Wesley, for just a moment on the challenge that Gary put on the table. Given the fact that the average American eats several animals a year, I mean, in equivalent, certainly when it comes to chickens, eats many animals a year.
Yep.
Is the average American actually responsible for more animal cruelty in a normal year than Michael Vick?
No, because eating animals, first off, is a natural food for human beings. We are omnivores. Secondly, we are moving progressively towards improved methods of animal husbandry. There's a professor, for example, named Temple Grandin, she's got autism, and she believes that...
Right, celebrated in a recent TV movie.
Yes. And she believes that allows her to perceive, particularly how cattle perceive. And she has been able to create really excellent improvements, not only in the husbandry of cattle, but also in the slaughter of cattle.
But even if we move forward to those improvements,
right.
the question would be, is it a valid standard, as Gary suggests, to actually talk about the suffering of animals? And in other words, if human beings and society should try to avoid animal suffering, should there be specific policies in place in society to discourage people from eating meat?
No, I don't believe there should be, but I do believe there should be policies that encourage and require methods of animal husbandry that reduce animal suffering or, if possible, eliminate it. I think it is not immoral to eat meat, and Gary does, and that's part of the difference.
Gary?
Wait. We can talk about about whether or not animal welfare is economically practical, and I believe that's fantasy, Wesley. You simply cannot reduce animal suffering to any significant degree, particularly in a world in which we have something called free trade, because as long as the demand is there for the lower welfare product, the supply is going to be provided. But we can that's an economic discussion. Let's not bore people with that. What I'd like to
okay,
do
what
focus
we can't bore people with right now is running over the break. We're coming up to a break in the proceedings. The provocative new book that has occasioned this argument is called A Rat Is a Pig Is a Dog Is a Boy. If we should try to discourage suffering for animals, how far does that need go? We'll be right back.
The Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
Minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, your daily dose of debate, particularly heated debate right now between two worthy adversaries. Wesley Smith is the author of the new book, A Rat Is a Pig Is a Dog Is a Boy. That, of course, is a slogan of the animal rights movement. The subtitle of his book is The Human Cost of the Animal Rights Movement. Wesley Smith is a senior fellow in human rights and bioethics at the Discovery Institute. And he is the author previously of The Culture of Death, The Assault on Medical Ethics in America. We're also speaking with Gary Francione, who is a professor of law at Rutgers University Law School in Newark. And he has written extensively on this issue of animal rights. He, in fact, has authored Introduction to Animal Rights, Your Child or the Dog. And, okay, let's try to establish just quickly, if we can, before we get back into the back and forth, to see where we have some common ground. Wesley Smith and Gary Francione. Wesley first. Just a yes or no, please. Wesley, it is a valid goal for society and governments that organize society to try to reduce as much as feasible suffering for animals.
Yes.
Gary Francione?
Well, of course it's better to impose less suffering more than...
Is it a valid goal for government to try to reduce suffering for animals?
It's an impossible goal. It can't be done because animals are chattel property. What I would like
we'll come back to that in just a moment. But you both acknowledge, Gary Francione is saying it can't be done. We certainly can't eliminate suffering for animals. Nobody is talking about that.
We can't even reduce it significantly. We've had animal welfare for 200 years. We're using more animals than ever before in human history in more horrific ways. But what I'm trying to get to is a look. I'm the leftist in the lion's den here. So I'm in the minority. Be good to the minority guy. Be good to the minority guy.
Okay, we've been very good to you, but get to your point.
All right. My point is this. Wesley thinks that we ought to reduce suffering because he thinks that there is something morally wrong with imposing suffering that is not necessary. And my point is simply this. We can live without eating animal products. I have been a vegan for almost 30 years. I'm a very healthy guy. And so the question is, why is it that we think that any level of suffering or death is acceptable if it's not necessary for us, and it is not as an empirical matter necessary for us? And I get very concerned when I hear Wesley say something like, well, it's natural for us to eat meat. You know what?
Okay, let's come back to the eating. Hold on. Let's come back to the eating of meat in a moment.
Okay.
What about animals for medical research? Will you grant that is at some time, as Wesley argues in his book very passionately, will you grant that the use of animals in medical research is sometimes indispensable?
It may, as an empirical matter, be indispensable. I don't think it's morally justifiable.
Wesley?
And I also think that
Wesley, go ahead.
Well, we cannot have medical advances and scientific increasing in biological knowledge without animal research and maintain our morality and ethics. In fact, that comes out of the Nuremberg Code because of the terrible atrocities that occurred to human beings in the concentration camps. Gary is very honest about this. He will acknowledge that there is benefit to be derived for human beings from medical research, but believes it is unethical to do so despite those benefits. Most
yeah,
of
but
the
Wesley, but what I also say, though, is that you overlook a lot of, for example, you assume that the only way to solve certain health problems is using animals in experiments. I, for example, have argued that if you want to cut down on new HIV cases, the economically most effective way to do that is safe sex education, condom distribution, and needle distribution. But that's not politically acceptable. If you did that...
Well, things are happening right now, for heaven's sake. But what the point I was going to make is that most in the animal rights movement deny, and this is empirically unjustifiable and intellectually dishonest, that there is benefit to be obtained for human beings and for animals and animal
Wesley,
research.
Wesley, with all respect, that's false. There are very few people who would deny that there may be some, I think it's grossly overestimated, there may be some benefits for humans from using non-humans in biomedical experiments. That's not the point. The point is whether it's morally justifiable. But there's an additional issue as to whether or not there's empirical necessity and whether or not...
Okay, those are separate... Gary, those are separate issues, but let's...
I agree they are separate issues, but we're mixing
them
up.
Gary, can I ask you a question? Do you support the use of embryonic stem cells in medical research?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you support abortion rights?
I support the right of a woman to terminate pregnancy. Yes, I do. And I am not happy
about
that.
Up till what month?
I believe that it is the right of a woman to, in a patriarchal society, Michael, I believe that a woman should be able to make a decision to terminate pregnancy at any point.
Okay, so hold on for a moment. On what basis would you say that a sentient being that is non-human would have some rights, but a sentient being like a well-developed fetus in utero has no rights?
Because you have a conflict situation that replicates itself nowhere else in nature, Michael. Assuming that the fetus is a right holder, you've got one right holder living inside the body of another right holder. That sort of conflict situation doesn't replicate itself anywhere else in nature. And the only question is who decides, who resolves that conflict? The woman in whose body the subsidiary right holder exists, or a white male legislator or judge who isn't going to get pregnant, and you know.
Why do you bring up a white male? I mean,
in a patriarchal.
But you think that if it was a black male legislator, he would have the right?
Because Michael, we live in a society of racism and sexism. It's a patriarchal racist society.
Okay, Gary.
That's where you and I probably differ.
Okay,
I think
Wesley?
It's a racist and patriarchal society.
You know, I think the thing that we need to focus on is that for an animal rights believer, not animal welfare, but animal rights. That which is done to an animal should be viewed in the same way as if the same thing were done to a human. Thus, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals ran the Holocaust on Your Plate campaign, an odious comparison, equating animal husbandry with the death camps. And listen to this quote from PETA. Like the Jews murdered in concentration camps, animals are terrorized when they are housed in huge filthy warehouses and rounded up for shipment to slaughter. The leather sofa and handbag are the moral equivalent of the lampshades made from the skins of people killed in the death camps. Michael and Gary, I've been to Auschwitz. I've been to Birkenau. I've stood in the crematoria and the gas chambers. I've seen that horrible rail terminus where Jews were divided for murder, immediate murder, or torture in slave labor camps. And it strikes me that if anybody who would equate the worst evil done to human beings with animal husbandry has no business preaching morality to anybody.
Okay, when we come back, we'll get a response from Gary Francione. I also want to pursue this idea that a sentient being called a mouse that deserves more respect and concern for its pain than the pain of a, say, 8-month-old baby in the womb. We'll be right back with Gary Francione and Wesley Smith.
The Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
Four minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, the provocative new book that is the basis for this debate today is called A Rat is a Pig, is a Dog, is a Boy, The Human Cost of the Animal Rights Movement. The author is Wesley J. Smith of Discovery Institute. The book is posted up on our website at michaelmedved.com. His adversary in this particular colloquy is Gary L. Francione. He is a professor of law at Rutgers University Law School in Newark, New Jersey. All right, Gary Francione, there's just been a strong challenge posed to you by Wesley Smith regarding the tendency of people in the animal rights movement to equate the killing of animals with the killing of human beings, a particularly odious example. And I must tell you, I agree with Wesley in this regard, was the Holocaust on Your Plate campaign by PETA. We had spokespeople from the PETA organization, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, on our radio show about that. Is it a valid statement to suggest that Colonel Sanders was a worse mass murderer than Adolf Hitler, which was said on my radio show, because Colonel Sanders killed more chickens than Hitler killed Jews?
Michael, with all respect, that's like saying, is it worse to kill Jews than it was to kill Romanies? Or was it worse that he killed Poles than he killed Jews? I mean,
Hold on. You're saying that comparing human beings to chickens
is like comparing
Jews to gypsies?
The point I'm making is I'm not interested
in ranking evils. I think that that is not a particularly...
There's a direct challenge here. Is it a valid distinction? Is it a more valid distinction to say that there is a big difference between a chicken and a human being? Is that a more valid distinction than the distinction between a Jew and a gypsy?
I think that it's all wrong. I'm not going to get into the game of ranking evils. I think it's all wrong. There is no reason to kill or impose suffering on any sentient being without at least a very good reason, and pleasure, amusement, convenience, or hatred are not sufficient reasons.
Okay, stay with me for a moment here, and then we're going to give Wesley a chance to respond, because you've just said something truly, truly extraordinary, in my opinion. Would you agree with many of the great moral philosophers going back to the time of Moses, as a matter of fact, that if human beings see the needless torture, murder, suffering of other human beings, they are obligated, if necessary, to risk their own lives to stop that?
There have been people who have said that. Yes, I agree with that. Sure.
You agree with that. So again, do you then say that human beings are obligated, if necessary, to risk their own lives to stop the torture and suffering of animals?
I believe we all. Well, I don't. Are you asking me about principles of self-defense? I mean,
I'm asking you again. The biblical example that's given, as a famous biblical example, is the story of Moses, the author of the entire Old Testament, five books of Moses, right? Moses leaves Egypt because he interposes himself and risks his life to stop an Egyptian overseer from beating to death a Hebrew slave. He sees, and he is praised
in
biblical commentary.
A wonderfully noble thing to do. And I think
is it also noble if somebody comes in and kills a butcher or someone who's working in a slaughterhouse?
Michael, come on. That's not what Moses did.
Yes, he did. He came in and killed the overseer. He murdered him. He killed him.
No, I do not believe in violence.
So then Moses was wrong?
On the story that you're telling me, yes.
Okay, this is in the book of Exodus. Moses sees an overseer who is beating to death an innocent slave.
You said interposed himself.
Correct.
And now you're saying he killed him. Interposed himself.
He interposed himself and ended up killing the overseer.
I do not believe in violence. I am opposed to violence. I am a principled pacifist. That is correct. And I would like to make a comment about Wesley's book.
It was okay if Moses interposed himself. Would Moses have been justified in standing over the stricken slave and saying, "Okay, overseer, kill me first"?
Would he have been justified? Yes. As a matter of fact, I think...
Would you be justified in going down to your local slaughterhouse and saying, "Cut my throat first before you get that next cow"?
It would be a futile gesture, but
yes.
I believe, Michael, that most of us subscribe to spiritual traditions which elevate the idea of sacrificing oneself for the other as a very, very good
thing.
Yeah,
but sacrificing yourself for other human beings, which is the whole basis of Christianity, after all, is a little bit different than sacrificing yourself for chickens, I think most people would say. We'll get a response from Gary Francione and Wesley Smith, the book, A Rat is a Pig is a Dog is a Boy.
Your daily dose of debate.
I think you are the greatest debater on radio today.
The Michael Medved Show.
Minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show. Before we go forward with this, Gary Francione doesn't know this. I think Wesley Smith does. I myself am not a meat eater. I am a fishitarian. I will eat fish, and I do eat fish, but I don't eat animals that have been slaughtered. Wesley Smith, I want to give you the first shot at this. Gary Francione just said something extraordinary, which he thought it would be an admirable, though futile, gesture for activists to interpose themselves and to offer their own lives in the place of a cow or a chicken that is about to be slaughtered. I take it you would disagree.
Well, yeah, I believe that human beings have greater moral value than animals. Animal rights activists, again distinguishing it from animal welfare, do not. Gary is a pacifist and has, to his very great credit, spoken against the violence that is increasing in animal rights advocacy. But many of his colleagues, I know he would not associate himself with them, like the Animal Liberation Front, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, not only engage in threats, have engaged in pipe bombings, incendiary bombings. In England, in order to stop a farm family from raising guinea pigs for use in medical research, animal rights activists robbed the grave of a farm family's grandmother and wouldn't give the body back until they got out of the business.
Yeah, but Wesley, with all respect, first of all, you know I detest that stuff, and I have gotten threats from people. There are a lot of unbalanced people in the world, Wesley, and they gravitate to various positions. And some of them gravitate to the animal position, and I can't really be responsible for them, and I despise what they advocate and what they do.
Okay, well, Wesley, let me come back for just a moment. When you say you think it would be a futile gesture to interpose yourself with a slaughterer who was about to kill cows, if I could show you that by your interposing yourself, you could save, say, 1,000 cows from going to the slaughterhouse— By sacrificing your life, wouldn't you be, by your calculus, morally obligated to sacrifice your own life to save those 1,000 cows?
I think it'd be morally permissible. I don't know that I'd be morally obligated, because I actually think I can save more by continuing the advocacy that I'm doing and the creative nonviolent vegan education.
That's begging the question.
Hold on
for a moment. I just want to see what moral basis we're all operating on here in terms of assumptions. I would suggest that if I could save 1,000 human beings by sacrificing my own life, I would be obligated to do that. Wesley, would you agree?
I wouldn't know if you would be obligated, but it certainly would be morally permissible and laudatory.
That's exactly what I said.
Okay. So
I mean, Michael, you could save right now, Michael, after we finish the show, you could go and you could give up all of your organs and you can save, I'm sure you're a reasonably healthy fellow, and you could save at least 20 people by donating your organs. Are you morally obligated to do so?
Again, what we're talking about now is not simply sacrificing yourself, but interposing yourself to stop cruelty and to stop wanton slaughter.
But wait a second. There's more to the animal rights movement than that. Animal rights activists, and Gary's very candid about this, it isn't just about suffering. It's about not having the right to own animals and animals having the right not to be owned. Gary doesn't believe that we should even be able to have dogs, no matter how well we treat them, because, as he calls them, they are refugees in a world in which they do not belong. So it isn't just about suffering. It's a rights view in which the view of owning animals is seen as equivalent to slavery.
Gary, I take it you're opposed. You're opposed to seeing eye dogs.
I am opposed to any animal use whatsoever. Are seeing eye dogs high on my list, Michael? No, absolutely not. Let me just make one thing clear. My position is quite simple. We all agree it's wrong to impose unnecessary suffering and unnecessary death on animals, and that Reasons of pleasure, amusement, or convenience do not constitute necessity, but 99.9999999% of our animal use can only be justified by reasons of pleasure, amusement, or convenience. And that was the basis of my argument that in many ways, morally, we are indistinguishable from Michael Vick. But I want to make one point that I think is extremely important to make, that I feel Wesley's book is problematic in a number of respects from my perspective, obviously. But one thing that troubles me greatly is that, yes, there are people in the movement who advocate violence, but they are a very small number of people. Most of the people that I have met in the movement despise and reject that stuff. He talks about people like Steve Best. Most of the people I know in the movement don't even know who Steve Best is, and those who do know who he is dismiss him as a clown. And I really think that this idea that animal rights people are pro-violent people, or people want to kill vivisectors, or people want to kill butchers, that's unfair.
Okay,
and that's
Wesley Smith, challenge to you.
Hold on.
Wesley, if you separate out the violent elements of the animal rights movement,
right?
Is it still a dangerous movement?
Yes, because it's anti-human and explicit and implicit. It destroys the concept of human exceptionalism. It says that human beings and animals have equivalent moral worth. It would
let him finish.
It would do tremendous harm to human benefit. I disagree with Gary completely that 99.9% of our use of animals is just for frivolous reasons or for pleasure. It would impede medical research. It would destroy industry.
That's a small number of animals, Wesley. That's a small number of animals. The animals that we eat, the animals that we use for sport hunting, the animals that we use for entertainment, those are the large number of animals. The number of animals, we could put vivisection aside as a completely separate issue.
Okay, Gary, let me just try to see the extent of this and the consistency of this. I mean, recently, Ted Turner was involved in this, I believe. There was some culling of the buffalo herd. Based upon illness in the buffalo herd in Montana. Would human beings be justified in doing that, in mass killings?
We shouldn't be breeding those animals. Those animals were purpose bred for meat, as I understood.
The problem was there was a free range buffalo herd in Yellowstone Park, and it was infected with some kind of cow disease, and they had to kill some of the buffalo to prevent further infection. Humans justified in doing that?
If an animal is irretrievably ill, and I mean, this is something else that Wesley and I disagree in. If I were terminally ill and I were in great pain, I should have the right to terminate my own life. I think Wesley disagrees with that.
Okay, we'll be right back with this Life, Death, Animals, and Humans with Wesley Smith and Gary Francione.
Your daily dose of debate.
I was listening to about 15 minutes of this garbage that you were spewing out today, so I thought I'd call it.
The Michael Medved Show.
Minutes after the hour, we only have a few moments left for a very heated and provocative and substantive debate. The debate centers around a new book, an explosive new book. It is called A Rat is a Pig is a Dog is a Boy, The Human Cost of the Animal Rights Movement. It's by Wesley Smith, who is a critic of that movement. He is debating Gary Francione, who's a law professor specializing in the rights of animals at Rutgers University Law School. Gentlemen, you'll each have just about a minute, and I'm going to have to hold you to that. And Gary Francione, I would love you to go first, please. Tell us how the world would be better for human beings if human beings stopped owning and, in your view, unjustifiably exploiting other forms of life.
The central proposition in Wesley's book is that if we were to follow the path that I propose, we would be denigrating human beings. We would not be acknowledging what is special about us. And I think a fundamental disagreement that I have with Wesley is what is fundamentally special about us. And what I believe is fundamentally special about humans is our ability to love, our ability for compassion, our ability to reach out and to help the vulnerable other. whether the vulnerable other is human or non-human. And I think that's what's great about being human, is that I'm able to choose to do that.
Okay.
I believe strongly
Gary,
in non-violence.
Gary Francione, thank you. Wesley Smith, where is he wrong? How would our world and our society be worse off if we disentangled ourselves from the ownership and exploitation of animals?
Well, it would be, in my view, first to accept animal rights ideology would be to accept a moral equivalency between human beings and animals, which I reject. It seems to me that if we perceive ourselves as just another animal in the forest, that's precisely how we will act. Secondly, there would be a tremendous cost, a toll to human beings. We have duties to animals, I agree with that, but we also have duties to human beings. We have duties to end disease. We have duties to provide good, nutritious food for the multitudes. We have the right to derive pleasure from owning dogs and cats and have that wonderful, loving companionship. A world in which we could not have wool coats, in which we could not horseback ride, which is not a form of cruelty, a world in which we could not eat meat would be a world far diminished over the one that we have, and it wouldn't only hurt human beings, it would also tend to hurt animals.
All right. The book is called A Rat is a Pig, is a Dog, is a Boy. And we haven't even gotten into some of the most explosive elements of disagreement here. Gary Francione, we would look forward very much to having you back. And I would like next time when you come back to specifically go to the issue of eating meat. Is there a moral justification ever, anywhere, for people to eat meat? Gary Francione is a professor of law at Rutgers University Law School. Wesley Smith is a distinguished author, the author most recently of A Rat is a Pig, is a Dog, is a Boy. More about his work and about Gary Francione's work posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. An argument that will not disappear or dissipate in this greatest nation on God's green earth.